Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Absolutely, everybody, and welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. The day after, the day after, I guess you could say, the day after the blizzard of January 2nd, 2014, roared in like a lion, 8 to 10 inches of snow in the Northeast, you know what, I got to stay home today, so I'm not really going to complain about it. Welcome, thank you so much for joining me today. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on WWPR, that's 1490 AM, and on the web, it's blogtalkradio.com. Once again, thank you so much for joining me today. Once again, glad to have you here. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, back in the air chair. One of my favorite places to be with you, on the radio with the R. Kelly Nation out there all across the country, 4,100 strong on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. I thank you all so much for indulging me here on the Ron Kelly Show on my nonsense. Thank you to the R. Kelly Nation that's growing by leaps and bounds just about every single day. www.theronkellyshow.com is the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. You can get all the information there is to get about me, of course, and the show. And incidentally, it's the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page. Besides the great blogs and commentaries, I know I have to update those at some point. Thank you for reminding me. But the Ron Kelly Show merchandise page is there where you can purchase Ron Kelly Show merchandise. Once again, thank you for joining me today. And shout out to my peeps on affiliate WWPL 1490 AM in Tampa Bay. Bradenton, Sarasota, Florida, where the weather is quite lovely right now. I'm sure they're all having a ball down there. And for those of you in that area, you can email me at theronkellyshow@aol.com. That's a special email address for our affiliate down there, WWPR 1490 AM in Florida. It's theronkellyshow@aol.com. Especially just for you folks, so you can just you can email me. And if you want to hear more of the Ron Kelly Show besides just on Wednesdays, you can say, hey, listen, Valerie, call Valerie at station, and it's on the website www.1490wwpr.com. The website is there. Actually, there's a page about me on the website as well. www.1490wwpr.com is the website for our affiliate in Tampa Bay, Sarasota, and Bradenton, Florida. It's WWPR 1490 AM. And once again, thank you. Thank you to my Twitter family. A lot smaller than the Facebook family. as a matter of fact, there's only a 1% of the 1% of my Twitter family represents 1% of my Facebook family. Now, there's a total imbalance there, so we need to fix that. So if you want to follow the Ron Kelly Show, you can log on to Twitter. It's Twitter, the Ron Kelly Show. Very simple. The Facebook page is the Ron Kelly Show, and the other page is the website is the Ron Kelly Show. So it's all one word, one name. Very, very easy for you guys to follow. So thank you again so much for indulging me today right here on the Ron Kelly Show. I want to ask a question today. Does it matter? I want to ask this question. Does it matter if your what color your God is? You know, because I see, you know, I of course, I'm logged in. I'm linked into all the social media, and I'm linked into all of this stuff. And I see what's trending, and I talk about what's trending. I talk about what I want to talk about, and also in addition to that, I also talk about what's trending. And, you know, the people, especially, well, I won't say especially, but, you know, I've noticed that African-Americans, since those are the people I'm around the most, in Facebook, talk about God as being black. It's a black God. God is black. And you know, I'm wondering if God, if that makes you a better parishioner. Would that make you a better person? Would it make you a better worshiper if God was black? Would that make you better? Would that help? I mean, would you go to church more every Sunday? Would you, you know, would you volunteer more? Would you tithe more? You know, instead of giving 10%, would you give 20% if you thought that God was actually black? Is the white God, is the white God untrustworthy? You know, that's a question I wanted to ask today. You know, what color? What doesn't matter what color God is, because, you know, especially folks who are activist type of people and those who rail against the white man all the time. You know, those are the folks who primarily speak out and say, well, you know, God is black. You know, but my question is, does that make you a better parishioner? Does it make you a better person? Do you go to church more? Does it make you feel better about going to church? Does it make you feel better about praying because you think that God is black? And I want to know. I want to know. It's 347-426-3214. If you care to call in, 347-426-3214. Also, you can post on my Facebook page like many of you choose to do, The Ron Kelly Show on Facebook, or you can post it on my Twitter page, Twitter at The Ron Kelly Show. And cause I'd like to know. I'm interested because people kind of make a big deal out of that. And it seems to be more comfortable with a God of their own understanding, I guess, by saying that. I mean, a God who is African-American. You know, white folks, you know, when you see pictures of God, even in African-American homes, when you see pictures of God, God is always white. You know, long hair, beard, you know, a white man. And there's lots of stories about, you know, lots of, depending on what religion you subscribe to, there's lots of stories about where exactly God came from. You know, where did God come from? And if you subscribe to conventional wisdom, it talks about God coming from God being a Hebrew. God is a Hebrew, and God is described in some parts of the Bible as having frizzy hair and dark skin. Not necessarily frizzy hair, but you know what I mean. Frizzy hair and dark skin. And those are characteristics of an African American, or you know, someone of African descent. When you talk about somebody with frizzy hair and dark skin, you know. But I think that amongst activists, people who have problems with white people, I think it's more of a cry I think it's more of their angst against white person, period, than it is about, where God actually came from or what nationality God actually is. I think they have more of a problem with white people saying that God is white than they do with God actually being white, or, you know, allegedly. So the phone number here is 347-426-3214. That's 347-426-3214. And I'd like to know what folks are thinking out there. Also, on the Facebook page, you can, as I'm on Facebook right now, you can email, you can log on to my Facebook page, and you can post your question there, because people don't like to talk on the radio, and I know that, and I understand that. People get a little nervous when they get to talk on the radio. They get scared for some reason, and I still do too. You know, I sometimes still do, you know, even as a radio personality and speaking on other radio shows, I do get a little flustered sometimes. So I understand for people who are not on the radio, I understand, or folks who are not used to, you know, speaking in public, which is what radio actually is, even though people can't see you, radio is speaking in public. And I understand that people who don't speak in public ordinarily are afraid to call in to radio shows. So I get it. I get it. But also the chat room is open, blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. The chat room is open. If you want to post a question there, you can too, because I do understand that people don't like to talk on the radio. So thank you once again. As I said earlier, winter's blast came in last night in the northeast area, 6 to 10 inches of snow. It fell right into the Lion weatherman was right this time, and it did. So, you know, it's funny. I mean, speaking of God and all, people ask you, like, do you know if it's going to snow tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, only God knows. And I use that phrase all the time, only God knows. It's only God knows. I mean, I don't really know. The weatherman, I mean, they seem to have an idea based on the projections and the radar that they have, the satellites that track storms and stuff like that. They do have the technology to, you know, they can see which way a storm is going, and they can predict, you know, how big it is and how much precipitation is in the clouds, and they kind of know what's going on, but who knows? God knows. But does it matter? I mean, does it matter? To me, honestly speaking, it doesn't matter to me what color God is. You know, I don't even think about that. Only when, I run into a question or come upon a discussion about that do I actually think about it, personally speaking. Because, you know, when I was growing up and I was a little kid and stuff, you know, we had a picture of a black God on our wall. But we didn't always have a picture of a black God. We did have a picture of a white God at one time, and then, you know, as time went on, we wound up, you know, eventually having a picture of a black God. Now, I never really stopped to ask my mom why she went from a white God to a black God, but we did have a picture of a black God on our wall, and many people in the African-American community have pictures of black, Jesus as being black, or Jesus or God as being black on their walls. So, you know, I personally speaking, I don't really care. It doesn't interest me, you know, what color God is. I just know that he's there, you know, and I have a relationship with him. I'm not going to go into my own personal relationship with God, like many people do, preaching on Facebook and all kinds of places. Oh, boy, I wonder if God reads Facebook. I guess he should, as much as people pray on it. But maybe God does breeze over Facebook every now and then to see who's praying, as folks choose to pray their prayers on Facebook. But anyway, I was kind of curious about that. What are people's personal feelings in regards to what color God is? Because God is God. Jesus is Jesus. You know, I really don't care what color he is, speaking personally. I don't care. But there are some folks who do, and as I said earlier, I think that people who have angst against the white man and are blaming the white man for just about everything under the sun are saying that this God is black in opposition to the white man, because white man says that God is white. I really don't believe that they have any real personal feeling about God's ethnicity, other than the fact that they don't particularly care for white folks. So it's more of a protest, it's more of a protest move than anything else, by saying that, you know, God is black. God ain't no white man. You know, God is black. But again, and what difference does it make? Does it make you a bigger tither? Does it make you attend church more? Does it make you, do you read the Bible more? Do you subscribe more to the teachings of Jesus if you believe he's black as opposed to thinking God is white? If you think God is white and you have a problem with white people, where you think that the white God is not trustworthy, that the white God is trying to suck you into something, you know, do you think that God, the white God, is you know, again, untrustworthy, not to be trusted, maybe pulling the okie doke on you, selling you snake oil, instead of holy water. So I'm interested to know what people think about that right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Once again, you can email me, my folks down in FLA. It's the Ron Kelly Show at AOL.com. That's the Ron Kelly Show at AOL.com. Thank you so much for the nearly 4,200 folks or so who have logged on and who have subscribed to the Ron Kelly Show nonsense, Ron Kelly Show Facebook page of 4,100 and so, more than 4,100 folks who have pledged their allegiance to the R. Kelly Nation and the Ron Kelly Show. I'd like to thank you so much. Each and every one of those likes, you know, all every one of them, blood, sweat, and tears, hard-earned likes that I've garnered in my time. Actually, this year, those likes have come across. And shout out to all the people who have been on the Ron Kelly Show. All the people. Shout out to my homeboy, my partner in crime, the unflappable Lamont Gates, who does a show with me on Wednesday nights. It's Real Talk Live with Ron Kelly and Lamont Gates right here on Block Talk Radio. It's 8 o'clock start for that show. I thank Lamont for stepping up to the plate without even being asked. Just stepped up and is doing the damn thing. That's how I know God is definitely in charge of all of this. And, you know, Cindy Hunt was my very first, I'll switch gears for a minute here. Enough about the God talk. Cindy Hunt was my very first co-host. Cindy Hunt, Miss Cindy Hunt. She was my first co-host, and we did the show up at William Patterson University years back. This is the Ron Kelly Show flashback before we go to break. Cindy Hunt did the show with me at William Patterson University, the R. Kelly Morning Show, as it was called at one time. And people used to say, what's you going to change your name? I said, no. Because, you know, the R. Kelly controversy with the young girls and whatnot. And people were asking me, I can't change my name. It's the name my mom gave me. And I love it. I like it. I'm proud of it. So I'm not a child molester. But anyway, shouts out to Cindy and Reverend Mike McDuffie, who I think has his own show now. You know, so many people. Andre McCollum, who was on the show with me for a while. Just so many people that who have come and gone. Pat Wilder is another person who was on the show with me years back. And Dave Gilmore, incidentally. Dave Gilmore, who is running for mayor of the city of Patterson along with 34 other people. You know, we'll see how that shakes out. Shouts out to Mayor Jeffrey Jones, who was on the show with me last show. Mayor, current Mayor Jeffrey Jones, for indulging me last week on the program. Thank you so much, Mayor Jones, and we wish him well, as we wish all of the candidates well, you know, in the upcoming election 2014. 2014, 2 days into 2014, we had a 6 inches to 10 inches of snow. Welcome to 2014. Is it going to be that kind of year weather-wise? Well, you know what? We'll find out. You know what? We'll ask God. Should we ask the black one or the white? Well, I don't want to get into that. But anyway, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure hopefully you all had a good day. I did. Stayed home from work. Didn't go because it was too dangerous. Stayed home and did my thing, did what I needed to do, and had a great day. And I hope you guys did, too. If anybody did go out on the roads, I hope you got back home safely because we want to talk with you and not about you. And I understand there were a handful of deaths. I don't mean to make it sound trivial. There was maybe 9 or 10 people who actually perished in the storm. Peace be upon them and condolences to the families of the victims of the very first storm of 2014 that went down last night, and actually all across the country, on the eastern seaboard and other places as well, coming toward us. So the worst is over now. It's just going to be freezing, 0 and 2 degrees, 5 degrees, just kind of stuff like that. What we'll do right now is we will take a quick break, so I can take a sip of something, and we'll come back with more of the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on WWPL 1490 AM, and on the web, it's blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio, and one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marshall Hamilton's society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on NorthTalkRadio.com.
If you're looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet in town for only $1.99, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for juicy burgers, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for tender brisket and succulent ribs, come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at the age of 47, leaving his wife and three children struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father. So he won't be around to take care of his family. And the sad part is that all could have been detected early with a simple test. But Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical tests you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to ahrq.gov. Once again, that's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
Of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me today. Yours truly, Ron Kelly, back in the edge here doing my thing for you, as I do every chance I get. Actually, shout out to my affiliate, WWPL 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota. I would love to be down there right now. It's probably around 70, 75 degrees. I will be down there later on this year doing the Ron Kelly Show live from Florida, going to meet some of the people down there in that area. And so look for me in August, I believe it will be down there. Maybe we'll host something. We'll host something, some gathering down there, so I can introduce myself to the people in Florida who love the Ron Kelly show. Thank you so much. www.theronkellyshow.com. You know what it is. It's the official website of the Ron Kelly Show. Blah, blah, blah. No. But you can get all kinds of information about yours truly. And, of course, the Ron Kelly Show merchandise store. So there's a link to my Facebook page, the Ron Kelly Show. Now, also, you can hit the Ron Kelly Show on Stitcher.com, the on-demand talk radio only, on-demand talk radio, Stitcher.com. The Ron Kelly Show is available on iTunes as well. And, of course, you can hear the Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com/ The Ron Kelly Show. You can listen to any archived show that's there as well, since we've been here on blogtalkradio.com. And I believe there's an archive at WWPR. It's www.1490wwpr.com is the website for our affiliate in Florida. You can check down there. You see if we've got archives down there. But we make it available for you. We're out here. We're doing our thing for you here at the Ron Kelly Show. Weedheads rejoice. Weedheads rejoice. I understand that Colorado's, for people who are not tied down anywhere, Colorado's the numbers of the people who live there should grow exponentially now that Colorado has the world's first recreational. Not because you're sick. You don't need a doctor's prescription for this. You can just walk in there and buy all the weed you want. I'm sure. I guess there is a limit on how much weed you can buy. But this is historic that you can go to Denver, you can anywhere in Colorado, and buy weed over the counter. And they have it. I'm looking at a picture here, and they have the weed. They had everything in glass jars, or you can see it, and you know it's a nice. You know, it's a nice. I don't smoke weed, but just as an outside observer, it's a nice store with the jars lined up. You can see what's in them. You can pick out the kind of weed you want. It's not in the seamy atmosphere, sneaking around. You don't have to worry about getting arrested. We'll talk a little bit more about what they say about using it in public, because they may, you know, that may still be a problem in regards to using the drug in public. But wow, it's really, you know, the world's first recreational marijuana sales have begun in Colorado. Now, marijuana activists hail this day as a watershed in their effort to overturn anti-cannabis laws. The store owners, several of whom said the turnout exceeded even their own ambitious expectations, feared running out of supply. Police reported no problems with the crowds, and government officials marveled at the calm. Now, overall, the day went as marijuana activists had hoped it would, in the most extraordinary way possible. It was ordinary. One gentleman said he had been waiting for 34 years. One person said they'd been waiting for 34 years. A woman who shopped at Evergreen Apothecary, they used to call drugstores that back in the day, way back in the day before my time, to Evergreen Apothecary at 2 a.m. Now, she got there at 2 a.m. If she wanted to be one of the first in line, the cop, well, I guess you're not copping now that you're buying it legally. I guess you can't call it copping anymore. You're just making a purchase now because it's legal. Now, she says, I've been smoking since I was 14, and there's no more sneaking around. Now, at least 37 stores across the state were fully licensed and open to sell marijuana to anybody 21 or over for any purpose. Now, sales could commence at 8 a.m., and activists who campaign for the marijuana legalization measure, whose passage became in November of 2012, which made the sales possible, arranged a ceremonial first purchase at the Denver store, 3D Cannabis Center. Now, the store used to be called the Denver's Discreet Dispensary because prior to this legislation, you could only purchase marijuana for medicinal purposes. But now, the question here is, now, will crime go down? Will drug arrests go down because the marijuana is legal? Now, that's the big question. Because you have to figure that if people are not sneaking around, as the person intimated earlier, and nobody's sneaking around, everybody, you know, people, you just walk in the store and buy it. So that cuts out the illegal part of it, sneaking it in the country. Will it have an effect on the drug war, on the so-called drug war? Will people now that in Colorado, for example, now that it's legal to smoke weed, to purchase weed and smoke weed in Colorado, now, will it affect a crime? Will the courts be less crowded? Will the drug offenses go down? You see, what will happen, right? See, you know, you would think, you know, conventional wisdom would say that if Colorado as a state, crime goes down, if drug arrests go down, you know, if drug dealing, weed selling, illegal weed sales go down, you know, conventional wisdom would speak like, hey, okay, let's do it everywhere. And maybe, you know, we can bring sales down, you know, we can bring the, you know, free up the courts in New York, for example, or New Jersey, or Chicago, places that are hotbeds for drug dealing and drug use. But I don't know that this will work everywhere. You know, I don't know. Because, you know, it's going to depend on the environment that you're doing it in. And I don't know if this is going to work in Chicago, or this work in Gary, Indiana, or Detroit, or some of the other places where drug dealing and drug selling is rampant, murders and kidnappings and all types of illegal activities going on in the name of drug sales. So if you, let's say you open a store in somebody else's turf, well, they want to get you, well, they want to blow up your store because you're selling legal weed in somebody else's turf or somebody's, you know, area who sells weed illegally. So will we have turf wars between the legal drug sellers and the illegal drug sellers? So, you know, my thinking is that it depends on where you are as to what's going to happen. It depends on where you are, what area you live in. If you're living in a semi-civilized, and I don't say that to say that the hood and Chicago and Detroit and places like that are not civilized, but you have, you know, you have civilized people doing a lot of uncivilized activities. So the question is, will this work in hardcore drug places as it seems to be working in Colorado now? You know, now the numbers haven't come out yet, so we really, you know, we don't know. But according to initial reports, everything was fine. The people went in. There was no nothing happened. There was nothing bad happened, in other words. But these are only the first days because the law just came in effect yesterday. So these are the very, very, very earliest stages. So we'll have to see. But my thinking is in some areas it will work. In some areas, it won't work. This is what my thinking says to me. And because some areas, you know, let's say one of the New York State, for example, legalizes marijuana, New York State. Now, these stores are going to be, you know, forget about electronics, forget about, you know, all these other stuff, forget about that, breaking into those stores. And I don't mean to sound antithetical to this idea, but these stores now are going to be very attractive to people, to B&E artists and, you know, and criminals. They're going to want to break into these stores and take out the weed. So these places are going to be even more attractive than banks in regards to thieves who may want to break into some of these stores and remove the drugs. So and I'm not just saying that for New York. That could happen anywhere. No area is devoid of crime. But I don't think that this is going to – it won't work everywhere. You know, it'll work where the people understand, you know, it'll work with law-abiding people. And don't get everybody, don't get your panties in a bunch. So there are law-abiding people who use marijuana. There are law-abiding people who use marijuana. The only thing, even if they buy it illegally, even for the folks who buy it, there are law-abiding people who have purchased marijuana illegally. Now, you ask yourself, well, Ron, well, how can somebody be law-abiding and they're breaking the law? Well, I'll put it like this here. You know, if the only thing they do is buy marijuana. Lots of folks. They have no record or anything. They just buy marijuana. So does that mean that they're breaking the law? I mean, that they're not law-abiding citizens because they're buying weed illegally? Well, some people, that's all they've ever done was purchased marijuana. So, yes, you can call them law-abiding citizens, for lack of a better phrase. If you got a better one, you know, send it to me. You know, rkellytalk@aol.com. If you've got a better phrase for that. But I think that people who, if all they did was bought weed, then they're all law-abiding, especially in Colorado now that it's legal. So, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen with this, if it's law. You know, I think it's a good thing. I am for legalizing marijuana. Yes, I am. I don't smoke it. I don't use it. I don't touch it. But, you know, it's a way to take the middleman out. It's a way to cut the drug dealers out. You know, will bring crime down. It should bring crime down. It should bring, it should free up the courts for real cases of criminal acts. And, you know, I think that it should be tried, not necessarily in Colorado, which was good, but I think it should be tried in some of the more hardcore drug states, like New York, for example. I wanted to see what happens in states with high illegal drug activity. New York, New Jersey, you know, California. I think they've already done it. Illinois, where Chicago is, New Orleans, you know, Dallas, places like that. St. Louis. I want to see how it would work in these crime-ridden areas, because Denver is not really a crime-ridden area, not as much as some of these other places. Newark, New Jersey, where there was 100 murders, more than 100 murders last year, 6 in between New Year's and Christmas Day. So, I'm in places like Colorado that are not heavily crime-ridden areas. It may just work out fine there, but I'd like to see how it would work in areas where of high drug activity, New York City, Newark, New Jersey, Miami, St. Louis, some of these places, Dallas, Chicago, Detroit. I want to see how it works there, because those are the places that really need it. Those are the places where drug activity is deadly to many folks, you know, and where it needs to be taken care of. So I would love to see what people, you know, how it would affect high crime areas. That's what I'd like to see. Because, you know, on second thought, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, may not be the best barometer for judging the results, good or bad, of this. Because Denver is not considered a high crime area. So if the whole consensus behind this is to bring crime down, let's take it to areas where there's a lot of crime. Let's take it to areas where there's a lot of crime and see what happens from there. I think that's one of the things that we should do. But again, you know, it depends on the governors of these states, the state legislature, the Senate, the Assembly. Unfortunately, it takes more than one person to make the decision. It takes hundreds. You know, when you have Democrats and Republicans trying to work together, you know, everybody, they both want the credit. You know, they both want credit for what goes down. We did it. No, we did it. No, we did it. And this is where we get the fighting on the state level, the fighting on a federal level, where the unemployment, I'm morphing into another subject, where the unemployment extension wasn't passed and the lawmakers jetted out of there, didn't pass it. Now folks are sitting around wondering where their next meal is going to come from. But with the economy the way it is and things, you know, September, October job report was over 200,000 jobs created. Why are there still a lot of people out of work? So we'll talk about that in another segment. Right now, we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on WWPR 1490 AM and on the web. It's blogtalkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio. And one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marching Animal Society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Think of the shortbread, budgie nut bar. How many cheeks? Think of the shortbread, budgie nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely. Thank you, my brother. Al Shaw. Al Shaw voiceovers. Holla at him. You can get at Al, DJ. AC at AOL.com. That's DJAC at AOL.com. You want your show to sound like mine? Well, not exactly, but you can get it out. DJAC at AOL.com. If you want to add the professional air to your show, can't do nothing for your personality, but it can definitely make your show sound better, technically speaking. Anyway, this is Ron Kelly's show. 347-426-3214. There's a few people in the chat room. They're not saying anything, but they're there. Okay, fine. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, / The Ron Kelly Show. And on broadcast radio, it's WWPR 1490 AM or www.1490wwpr.com. Thank you, everybody, for getting at me, the R. Kelly Nation, everyone out there. Follow me on Twitter, The Ron Kelly Show. Or you can log on to the Facebook page, The Ron Kelly Show. Follow. You can get The Ron Kelly Show on iTunes and Twitter. Not Twitter, iTunes. You can get me on Stitcher Radio. We're just all over the place, and we put ourselves out there just for little old you. All right, everybody. Several minutes before the hour, and I'm looking for something. That's why I'm stalling here. I'm looking for something. You know, I was talking a little bit earlier about the unemployment, and that there's the people unemployment extension. People didn't get their unemployment extension. The house ran out, went home for the holidays. President Obama will meet on Tuesday. Met on Tuesday with long-term unemployed Americans as the White House tries to convince the GOP, because the GOP or the kook fringe Tea Party Republicans control the House of Representatives or Congress, the lower house. And they control that. But they bounced out, left, bounced out, went home for the holidays, and didn't extend unemployment benefits. Now, the president is trying to get the GOP to extend unemployment benefits for people who haven't had a job in a long time. Now, the White House is ramping up pressure on Congress to extend unemployment insurance benefits that expired for 1.3 million Americans last week. Now, President Obama met Tuesday with some long-term unemployed Americans. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but the White House announcement of the event where Obama pressed for the extension of benefits came Friday as Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee released a report saying expiration of federal unemployment insurance has already taken more than $400 million out of the economy. So they're accounting for these people to have this money so they can spend it. You know, so the money just gets kind of recycled. Now, the Senate is expected to consider a bill next week sponsored by Senators Jack Reed, a Democrat from Rhode Island, and Dean Heller, a Republican from Nevada, to extend emergency unemployment insurance for 3 months. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to look beyond 3 months as far as like where my food and rent and everything else, car payments, is going to come from. And my question is, if, you know, the stock market is 16,000, record after record every day, the stock market reaches a new record. The stock market reaches a new record. And if this country is doing so well, why are all these people still out of work? Why are all these people still out of work if the country is doing so good? And all the statistics say, and I don't know if you can bank on these statistics, but they all say that the country is doing well. I mean, you have the stock market going over 16,000. You know what the stock market was when President Obama came in? It was at 4,000 something. 4,000 and some odd points was the stock market when President Obama assumed office six years ago. Now, the stock market has gained 12,000 points during the time that Obama has been president. Millions of jobs have been created, millions of jobs. And everything is up, car sales, you know, home purchases, existing homes, new construction. I mean, it's not up, you know, to record levels, but everything has gone up since Obama became president. And so why are all these people, you know, still out of work? And see, I have mixed feelings about welfare and food stamps and things of that nature because I've seen people abuse them. I've known people to have abused the system. I mean, firsthand knowledge, not something I heard, firsthand knowledge of people who have abused the system, abused the system. Don't need the money. Spending it on hair and nails, you know, and spike heels and stuff like that. Now, that's not to say that, that's not a blanket statement, and it's not to say that everybody does that, but there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of it out there. So, to a degree, I do share the kook fringe, not for their particular reasons. It's like, you know why they don't want to give anybody anything. But I share their sentiment, but not for the reasons that they are specifying. I have my own reasons. And I do think that, you know, people should... I do think that welfare was a bad idea from the beginning, and it never should be allowed to last that long. And people don't be on welfare for years, 10, 15, 20 years, should never have been able to last that long. Never. I know people that are getting, you know,
SSI, nothing wrong with the kid. Not, you know, nothing wrong. Not enough for to be giving up $700-$800 a month. You know, I know that sounds, you know, uncaring, and hey, you know what? You take a look at my paycheck at the end of the week. How many taxes and stuff that come out of my check? Thousands every year, $10,000-$12,000 a year in taxes alone. So yeah, I'm gonna complain, but there are people who really, you know, they, for example, one state, Florida, I believe it was, wanted to have the right to get drug tests for fuel and welfare. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I think they should. Where it's a concern, where there's a legitimate suspicion. I mean, you can't be, you know, like giving grandma a drug test, but if she's on public assistance, but I think that where it is warranted, where there is a legitimate suspicion, where a person is shown when they're called in for their follow-up visit or whatever they call it, when they're called in and they're showing signs of drug use, then yeah, they should be checked. They should be checked. I agree with that 100,000%. But the Florida legislature does not agree with me, and I believe that piece of legislation or that proposal was shot down. But I think that they should. Absolutely. Only where there's a legitimate, there's some type of evidence, physical evidence, or if somebody comes to their appointment and they are under the influence, then yes, they should be checked. And if they are, they should be reprimanded in some kind of way. Now, I'm not saying take the kids from them and all that. We got enough kids in foster care. If there's no evidence of the kid being molested or anything like that, or treated unfairly or unjustly or abused, then that kid shouldn't involve the children. It should just be the parent. But now, there's a lot of... The economy has recovered a lot. And I'm not saying that people out there who just don't want to work. It's just there are people out here who just don't want to work. I mean, that's true. I mean, let's keep it 100 here on this show. And there are people out here who just don't want to work. There are people out there who won't take certain jobs. You know, people working under the table. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Now, I'm not saying that everybody does it. But it is being done, you know. So there should be better safeguards in place to catch those type of people. And I'm not saying, what I'm saying actually is that it should be given to somebody who actually needs it, not to somebody who's just playing a system, you know. But, this is going to be a battle for the president. Because our country, you know, when you talk about trillions of dollars, right? When you talk about the money, the deficit, the budget deficit, when you talk about 16, like a trillion is a million billion. Now, just imagine that for a second. Imagine that number. 1 million billion dollars. That's a trillion. A million billion dollars. Now imagine that. Now, if the country, let's say United States budget deficit is 16 trillion, that's 16 million billion dollars. That's an enormous, incredible, that's an enormous amount of money. 16 million billion dollars. It's unmanageable. I mean, it's unimaginable. You could never, you know, as an individual, a million billion dollars, you'll never spend it unless you just give it away. You'll take five lifetimes to spend that kind of money. So when you talk about $1 billion, and you times that by 16, 17, 18, you're talking about an incredible amount of money. The United States borrows money at an alarming rate right now. The United States borrows money to balance its budget every day. So you figure that the country is $16 billion in the hole, and now interest has to be paid on that money as well. Interest, you pay, the United States pays interest on its loans just like anybody else. So can you imagine the interest on $16 trillion in debt? Can you imagine what the interest is on those loans? It's outrageous. So when you look at that, you kind of think, like, how can the country ever come out of this? How could America ever balance its budget, ever, with the borrowing that we do just about every day? What if all other countries say, all right, we want to cash in, China, Japan, other countries who are loaning us this money and owning everything just about? What if they come out and say, well, you know what, we want our money back now. That's enough. We don't have it. So, you know, when you talk to, the Republicans, they do have a point, you know, as it speaks to balancing the budget. They do have a point because, you know, we can't keep going on like this. And notwithstanding the people who are on unemployment who need their money every week, I mean, that's a small 3 million people. That's nothing compared to owing billions, trillions of dollars. So at some point, Obama, and the Congress, the Senate, Obama, at some point, they're going to have to come together and reduce the deficit. At some point, they're going to have to, because we can't keep going on. You ever see that clock in New York? Well, those of you from the New York metropolitan area, there's a debt clock in New York. It's been running for years. The debt clock created by some politician or some rich person years ago. And it's still sitting there running. And that clock's been there like maybe 30 years. And the debt is just adding up, adding up, adding up. So it needs to be, you know, in defense of the Republicans, it does need to be taken care of at one point. Now, the Republicans want to cut it on the backs of social services. That's what they want to attack first. And cut the people's legs out from under them, which I don't agree with that, you know. But I do think we can maybe forego an aircraft carrier or two. I don't mean mothball or anything. I mean just no building. We can do without a submarine or two. I don't mean take any out of commission. But just, you know, there's some things that we need to do to balance this budget because it's getting ridiculous. And as far as the Republicans are concerned, social services is not, you know, you can't attack social services, which is what the Republicans and the kook fringe want to do. Shout out to my friend Clarence. Shout out to my friend Clarence, who's a kook fringe Tea Party Republican. Shout out to him. But he's gonna get me for that. But anyway, we're going to break out. We do need to do something about that. But we're going to break out of here. We got about a minute left. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me next week, Dr. Susanna Flores. Why do people kill their whole families? You read about the story with the man who lost his job and just killed his whole family. How does that happen? We'll talk to clinical psychologist Dr. Susanna Flores on an upcoming edition, you know, of the Ron Kelly Show. Until then, everybody, take care of yourself. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Join me once again for another edition next time of the Ron Kelly Show. Until then, take care of yourself. We're out of here.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.